Steve Boric, is there anything you can't go for?
Oh, I don't know. Mackerel, maybe.
What?
Mackerel, the
what?
Fish.
What? No,
you know?
That's not acceptable. Oh, my. You wait, okay, let me clarify. Before we introduce you, are you talking about, like, mackerel in general, like eating it cooked, or are you, like, pickled mackerel, like the kind you would get in sushi?
Oh, any kind of mackerel. That's, like, the only fish I think I won't eat in any of its pickled sushi forms or whatever. But I'm pretty easy when it comes to, you know, getting a food put in front of me at the table. I'll eat pretty much anything.
Well, it's been nice having you on the air today, Steve. We'll talk to you next time. Just kidding, everybody. Just kidding. No, you failed the mackerel test, but it's okay because we're gonna go in deep. We're gonna go in deep on your your mackerel and
second
and
chances.
Yeah, yeah.
I get a second
chance. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we have on the air with us Steve Boric, who is our next pizza expert. And pizza experts, we have a few of them, not like terribly many in Port Towns in Jefferson County, but we have a few. And Steve is one of the more outspoken pizza experts, and he brings with him, unlike Buster, our previous guest, Steve brings with us a lot of East Coast knowledge and gustatory experience. Probably be well beyond what Buster Ferris was able to conjure. So I don't know if you have any pizza expert credentials to add to that list, Steve.
I do. Thank you for that introduction. Yeah, I don't know if I'm a pizza expert, but I eat a lot of pizza, or I have. And a lot of different places, so I've got opinions. Sure.
No, that makes you an expert, and I actually have badges for people. I haven't printed them out and given them to them yet because of COVID.
Oh.
But yeah, no, I have pizza
badges?
Expert. I have pizza expert badges. I usually have been distributing them on social media. I'll send you one. I'll send you one when we're done here today, and you can show proudly to your friends that you are a pizza expert. There is no doubt about it, and they should listen to you and take your opinion seriously on everything except mackerel.
I am so proud. I'm going to bed a different person tonight.
Thank God.
This is great.
Well, you did it. You did all the work, my friend. You did the work by so tell us about your pizza. Give us a history of Steve combined with a history of pizza. You know, because I think these things are related to place, right? So,
absolutely.
Tell us about how you learned about pizza and how it became an important thing in your life.
Oh well, I did grow up in New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn, and my mother was Sicilian, so we always ate pizza when we'd go out. You know, I mean, I get 25 cents and you get a slice. And. And I used to, you know, go for, when I got older, I went for the Sicilian slice.
Okay, what's the difference there? So 25 cents a slice, which is unfathomable to me. And then Sicilian, what does Sicilian slice mean?
If you're in New York, you've got the full round, thin crust slice, and that's, you know, your 25 cents. But if you paid a nickel more, or 35 cents, whatever, you get Sicilian, which was it was a square or a rectangle, and it was much thicker, so you got a lot more crust.
Mm.
And the crust was, like, always so amazing. It was just, you know, it was that much extra. It was a real meal. So that's what I used to go
for. So is that more like focaccia? Like, I've never had I mean, I've never been in the East Coast, but so that's, like, super thick, and it's always a square. It's not a triangle.
Right, it's a little rectangle they give you, and you see them all over. You don't see it much out of New York City, for sure. I've never really seen it. Well, in Rome I saw it, but that's another story. But
is your
get
preference?
There till I was older.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll get to Rome for sure because I think that's important. But so your preference was the Sicilian over the standard New York slice, which is the big floppy fold, you know, fold up slice that people
right.
think about. Well, people like me
right.
who are from the West Coast think about as iconic New York pizza.
Right. That's what everyone associates with. But that's not the pizza that I preferred growing up, because my I'm half Sicilian. My real memories of you know, good pizza you can get, but great pizza, you know, we get on the my mother would take me on the subway, and we would go to the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and we'd go to see my grandma, and my grandma made pizza, you know, amongst all the other Italian food you could think of, or most of them.
Yeah.
And she made incredible pizza, and it was like the Sicilian slice. It was rectangle, but it was thinner. It was, the crust was kind of in between the real thick Sicilian and the thin round one.
Yeah.
And she would just make pizza with, you know, tomatoes and cheese, and she always made one pan with anchovies. And you know, when I was younger, I wouldn't eat the anchovies. But then when I got older, I learned it was like mackerel. You know, you turn your nose up at something, and then you wake up one day, and it's like, oh, my God, they've been hiding it. No, they haven't been hiding it. You just haven't been eating
it. Okay, we have to stop. We have to stop and address this, because you will eat anchovies on pizza, which I commend you for. I will do the same in most cases. But you don't like mackerel. Like, that is
no.
How does that work? Like, in my mind, in full respect to you, like, me, an overarching perspective looking at your your brain here is to say that, like, you, that how are they so different, you know? So I guess I need you to define for me what's different for you about mackerel than anchovies, and, you know, vice versa, that lets you eat anchovies but not eat mackerel.
I guess if you put me at a sushi restaurant, if you put me in a sushi restaurant, there are too many other good choices that I would rather have besides mackerel for sushi. You know,
yeah.
So that's I guess where it starts for me.
Yeah. Did a mackerel touch you in a plate? Can you show me on the doll where the mackerel touched you?
The back of my throat. There's this gagging sensation. My same grandma, she used to say, you know, if you're hungry, rocks taste good. Mm. So we could, you know, if there was only mackerel on the table.
You might go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to pause and do that aside, but I had to dig in there and just see what's going on. And so she would put anchovies on it. You didn't eat anchovies when you were a kid, and neither did I, to be fair. But at some point, you let yourself eat one of the anchovy slices and realize that, hey, this isn't such a bad deal after all.
Well, it was probably like an accident. You know, they were out of the regular pizza, and there was a couple slices of anchovies. So you tried it, you know, and like I say, my grandma, she was a pretty incredible cook. So if it came out of that kitchen, you generally, as a rule, weren't disappointed.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. I mean, and it's what I'm jealous of families like yours is that you have this real culture behind the food. You know, it's not it is something that's ingrained in what people are used to making, you know, and it's passed down from generation to generation in such a special way. And there's just no, you can't replace that with anything else. Like, there's, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I that was, that for me is like, you know, because I, you know, I, then years later, when I was a teenager, my grandmother moved to Brooklyn and lived in an apartment in our house, so I got to hang out with her more. And, you know, there's certain things that she'd let people do in the kitchen. You know, I mean, I'd open all the cans of tomatoes for her, and, you know, mix the meat for the meatballs, and you know, stuff like that. So I watched her cook a little bit, and I, you know, naturally my mom taught me how to cook as well. So I think I do it. It's like third generation now, fourth generation.
That's so great. And you're doing it. So, I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah.
And maybe your kids have some of that knowledge too.
Oh, absolutely. My younger son, actually, it's funny because when I didn't find out till today that Buster was your first guest.
Yeah.
And I got like a little worried there for a minute, because I mean those are big footsteps to follow.
Literally.
And literally and figuratively. And my son Thomas and Buster grew up together. So I remember Buster when he was, 5 years old. So
nice.
But Thomas and Buster both share that. They both like to cook. And my son, he does it his way. He makes stuff, and I'm like, I would never do it like that, but sure, he makes great food. So
right, and it doesn't have to be a rigid evolution of culture. It can, it's the basics that get passed along, and I think that was. Like in my family, my mom's mom did not love to cook. She hated to cook, in fact. So my mom kind of had to invent like food culture for herself, and draw on all these different places. And in the first hour, we were talking about recipes, and for my mom, it was always cooking from the recipes. And just thinking about it from, what you're saying about, we're talking about cultures passing it on. It's like she was trying to just start something from the ground when she had nothing to draw on. So it's so special to have that thing to draw on, I guess, is what I'm feeling right now, hearing about going to grandma's in Manhattan, which is like basically going to another country, right? In New York terms.
Kind of, yeah. It's a different place for sure.
A different scene. And when she moved to Brooklyn, did she move in with you guys?
She lived in the apartment downstairs. It was a three-bedroom apartment, a three-family apartment. So she had the first floor. We were in the middle. And for a while, I had an uncle living upstairs. So, it was...
Wow.
You never the doors were never closed. It was always somebody running up and down the stairs. So
now you live in a town of 10,000 people, and you regularly go walk about into the woods. Do you ever miss living in New York City? Do you ever see yourself moving back there, or is that chapter of your life gone?
No. I mean, I left New York like a bullet leaves a gun. I go back. I love it. And my son, he lives in Queens now. One of my sons he's been there for like 4 or 5 years, and I love it, because I used to go visit my mom, and my mom's passed. I get to go visit my son and my brother and my granddaughter, and I still come home with cookies and tomatoes and cheese, and there's just some stuff you can't get out here. So it takes a little work to it.
You mean like canned tomatoes, or are you bringing like fresh fruits and veggies out here?
No, canned tomatoes.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say the canned tomatoes, I mean, there is real difference between the quality of tomatoes that you find in cans.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And we don't have much of a selection out here, for sure.
Well, we got a good selection, but I can't get the ones my grandmother used. So, I mean, I'll use Hunt's or whatever, but if I have them, I'll for the right recipe, I'll use Red Pack or Tutoroso or one of those, whichever one, if I have it. So.
Yeah. Well, what kind of tomatoes are you bringing back from New York? What's the brand that your grandma used?
Red Pack.
That's Red Pack. Okay.
And it's weird because they're a California tomato. I don't know why. I've never seen them in Washington. And the Tutoroso, I think they're from, I think they're also from California.
Mm.
And the flavor's different. I've made good sauce with, QFC tomatoes. I mean, it's the meat that goes in it that matters more. Anyway, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good food back there. That's why one of the best things about going to New York is, the pizza for sure. And this is the thing I want, because listening to you talk about your experience with pizza, we keep meaning to try to get together and have a beer and talk about things. So
we still need to do that.
Now we get to do it here. But I grew up thinking, New York, this is the best pizza in the world, and you'd go 100 miles from the city, and it was garbage, but. Anyway, when I was like 20, I went and lived in Europe for a year, and I got to go to Rome, and I got to go to Sicily and hang out with my family over there, and blah blah blah. And I remember getting off the train in Rome, and you know, it was like I was so hungry. I'd been on the train for, you know, 20 hours or something.
Yeah.
And there was a pizza place, and I went and just, you know, ran up there and bought a piece of pizza, and it was like a revelation. It was like, oh my God, this is like the pizza my grandmother made.
Mm.
It was just so good.
Was it very similar in? Was it just like the everything about it was the same, or was it that it reminded you of it just very, very well?
It just reminded me. You know, it was like real fresh, and it was the same shape, and the crust was right, and the cheese was, you know, a miracle. It was like, it was so good, you know, and so it made me start thinking, you know, living in Europe, you start to think, you're looking around how good things are, and you think, oh, you know, maybe America's not that great after all anyway. You know, it's not the, but.
True.
That's another story.
And all opinions, as we say, as I have to say frequently, are expressed here or by me and my guest, Steve Borick, and not KPTZ.
Right.
Not ever KPTZ.
I mean, we love America, but, you know, there's other places out there.
Yeah,
know?
That's right. I mean, I frequently have been thinking that throughout my life. It's like, wow, how could we be the greatest, quote-unquote, most powerful, richest country in the world and get so many things wrong?
Well, we did get a few things right. You know, it's tough.
Did we get pizza right?
In New York, we did, you know.
so now, and I want to talk more about your local pizza experiences, you know, and that maybe in the second half. But so in terms of your New York pizza, you had this amazing pizza in Rome, you know, and you went back and you look back on, you know, your sort of pizza history and realize that maybe the best pizza you had was at home with your grandma or at her home. And that was kind of your iconic pizza moment that you're always trying to get back to.
I mean, that's a fair statement. I mean, that's what you measure everything against is, you know, what you think is the best. But that won't stop me from eating a Papa Murphy's pizza, you know,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can do that. it's good pizza. It's fine. You know, but that goes in a whole nother direction.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in the second half.
Well, yeah, the second half, we'll get to that. Well, let me ask you one quick question before we go to that, because it's a question I like to broach with people a lot, is do you know what a Philly taco is?
A Philly taco, no. I know what a native taco is.
Oh, yeah, you know, fry bread, yeah.
Fry bread and all the same, you know, Mexican accoutrements. But I've never had a Philly taco.
Well,
What's a Philly taco
is you take a cheesesteak and you roll it up in a slice of pizza.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you just, and you're eating it like cheesesteak style, right? Like you're eating the cylinder, not... As you're biting into the cheesesteak, you're also biting into the pizza, hopefully cheese simultaneously. And I've always thought about this because it's like known as a Philly thing, right? But man, and I don't even know how the pizza is in Philly. Maybe like years ago I talked to somebody about Philly pizza, but so I have no idea if it's good or not. But man, you could have something like that in New York too. And it's really bad for you, right? But at the same time, it makes my eyes well up with just excitement at the joyous fusion. That's my kind of fusion cooking right there.
That's, you know, I mean, it's experimentation. I love fusion cooking. You know, I mean, it's like the Mission Chinese.
Danny
restaurant
Bowen.
And I love that cookbook. And they did this thing where they did like Kung Pao pastrami.
Yes.
And I was like, I went the next day down to QFC and I got some boar's head pastrami and how to make this. It was like, yeah, tell me more.
Oh man! So you actually made? I haven't made. I have that cookbook as well, and have made. I mean, I'm a Mapo Tofu addict, which I could have a whole episode about how much I love Mapo Tofu. But yeah, I wanted to make that Kung Pao pastrami, but for me, it, like in terms of my tools, not something that was going to happen. Maybe happen someday. So how was it? Was it good? Did you like the recipe?
I absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was great. I'd make it again. I mean, yeah, I don't have the tools now either to do that. It's a little different situation. But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of recipes in there I thought about making, and I'm sure I don't have the book, but I copied a bunch, and I will get back to that.
Oh, man. Well, we should have a Mission Chinese dinner night, observing pandemic protocols, of course, because that cookbook's full of things that I like to eat. The beef cheeks and broccoli, oh, my God, out of this world. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, okay. Everything in that book is good.
Oh, it's so good. So we better get to our musical break so we have time to talk more about pizza and whatever else we want to talk about with our guest, Steve Borick, who is illuminating things in his pizza world, which, you know, may be the most well, you're the first New York expert that we've had on a pizza party.
I'm honored.
So and we meant to actually have you on the first pizza party. Luckily, we got you on the second. So
I'm glad I'm part of the conversation.
And we're back on Filter. I'm Paul Rice, and this is a pizza party with Steve Borick. Steve!
Pizza party!
Pizza party, yes. If only, and you know, if there are, well, there, you know, there will be enough episodes of Filter that we will be vaccinated from COVID, and I just foresee... I foresee like a pizza party in the middle studio where we just have, you know, pizza experts eating pizza and on the radio at the same time and challenging each other's opinions in real time. And really getting down to the core, the bottom of that, of that dough. But that doesn't work.
Real critical thinking there. Yeah.
Yes. It will be some of the most important radio of all time. And the gods will look down and they shall say, yes, thou hast talked about pizza in a way that was accurate and according to our meaning.
Yes, I think the gods will smile on our endeavors for sure.
So, I like a few different places for pizza in Jefferson County. I obviously we're not choosing favorites here, but we like to call out some of our favorites. And, you know, I know for me, it's, you know, I love Farino's. I love Penny Saver. I'll even eat Waterfront sometimes. You know, Buster talked a lot about how he was raised on Penny Saver pizza in our last hour. And I'm curious if you have any... you got any pizza shout outs that you want to make locally or kind of, you know, you said Papa Murphy's before and I will get down on a Papa Murphy's. I try not to undercook it because I have done that before. And then it's like a rolling, then I just get the dough sweats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hate that.
I hate the dough sweats.
I hate when that happens. Yeah, right.
So what are your pizza preferences locally?
Well, first, I just wanted to, like, the thing I was going to say about that Eno song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
King's Lead Hat is an anagram for Talking Heads, and he did that album years before he produced their stuff, and I don't know where how they came up with that name, if that had anything to do with it. And, you know, Leslie is, I mean, he's so great on so many levels, but if you can't dance to that tune, you're legally dead. Just saying, it's such a good album. Look it up, folks.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Check out and see if we can unpuzzle this Talking Heads anagram. So you don't think that was intentional necessarily, but maybe it's just one of those little universal peculiarities that ends up having meaning.
Who knows? With Eno, I mean, he. I first heard of Eno in New York City, and I went to the Palladium, was a place, you know, used to go see rock and roll shows and music, and in the bathroom there was a thing that said Eno is God, this graffiti, and I was like, who is this Eno? And I you know, and I finally tracked him down, and you know, I won't say that he's not God, but he's pretty cool, you know. I mean, he worked with Bowie and U2 and Talking Heads, everybody. Just he made us all better.
Oh yeah, no, and his ambient music is like, it was fundamental in terms of some of my favorite artists, because I love that genre so much. And you know, he laid the groundwork for it. You know?
He definitely is holding up one corner of that world. You know, four corners of ambient music or whatever. But he's amazing. But back to pizza. Let's talk about pizza.
Pizza.
It's local shout outs. I mean, it's like, this is my story about pizza. So it's like, I've got two sons, you know, one's, you know, and they're both in their mid 30s. They've, you know, one's lived in San Francisco, so I've had a lot of San Francisco pizza. And my other son's lived, you know, LA and Pittsburgh and New Orleans and New York. And, you know, we talk about pizza. We all love food, you know, and, you know, anyway, I was talking to one of my kids. I don't know. This is like 10 years ago or something. And he came back to town, and we were talking. And he said, oh, we wanted to go get pizza at Waterfront. I was like, you miss Waterfront pizza? I can't stand that stuff. I hate, you know, sourdough. It's a mess. And, you know, they try to be all things to all people. It's just, you know, compared to what I grew up with. And he was like, He said, no, he says, I love Waterfront. I was like, oh, really? I mean, yeah, we spent a fortune there when they were kids, but it made me rethink, you know, and especially after like listening to you on the first pizza party, because you like, you have all these childhood memories of like what pizza was like when you were growing up and what it meant and where you went to a place, you know, you met your friends, or you played video games or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're 6 years old, 10 years old, it's like the pizza is like it's part of the scene. And totally. And so I hate to be one of these people that like, because I hate when I like run into somebody and they're like, oh, well, if you haven't had New York pizza, you don't know squat, you know, and it's like, no, BS. That's not true. It's like, it's what you remember. It's what you liked. And my kids, yeah, he's living in New York, and he wants to come back and get a slice of Waterfront because, you know, he grew up on that. And it's like, you got to respect that.
Yeah.
So I hate taking the joy away from somebody when they, you know, if they say Domino's pizza, and that's what we had. And it's like, good for you. Good, you know.
But that good for you is slightly tinted with a feeling of sadness for that person. Don't lie.
That's true. But sadness is different than disgust.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. You're not going to punish them for their wrong opinions. You're just going
It's not a wrong opinion. It's not a wrong opinion. It's their opinion, and everyone's entitled to that. And you know, if you tell me I've had like maybe Farinos once or twice in my life, I couldn't tell you what it tasted like, but I can tell you what Pizza Prince. You know, you put a piece of Pizza Prince. It was around the corner from me in Brooklyn. It was like, oh man, you know, I remember what that tastes like. So
Pizza Prince.
That's where you're coming from.
I really like the sound of that name. Can you tell us a little more about the Pizza Prince?
Pizza Prince was, you know, it was just like right in front of the train station, and you know, you had 25 cents. You'd grab a slice on in the afternoon and a little snack before dinner, and it just, all they sold was pizza, and you know, you get water or get a soda for a nickel or whatever it was, you know. And you know, and it's funny because like now you go to New York pizza places, and you know, some of them, the walls are covered with, you know, mafia, you know, Don Corleone, and you know, all that memorabilia, you know, because to show that they love Italians or whatever. And
well, don't forget one of my favorite movies, Do the Right Thing. Hey Sal, can we get some brothers up on the wall, please? Remember that?
I don't remember that.
This Sal's famous. Boycott Sal's famous. till we get some brothers up on the wall. Yeah, that's what started. That's what gets Radio Raheem killed. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get some brothers up on the wall.
Amazing movie.
Oh yeah, that's one of the best movies ever made. Yeah, I love that
movie. Absolutely.
And it's all around pizza, you know. Yeah. Because pizza is the most important thing.
Spike Lee knew.
Spike Lee knew. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you New Yorkers knew. You know, like Brooklyn folks. You know what's vital, right? Like.
I mean,
that was your
pizza
hood.
And hot dogs.
Oh God. You know, yeah, and there just wasn't, you know, man, yeah. But we already talked about my history with that, and I get jealous of those cultural histories. But you're right in that, like, what is important is your nostalgic connection to things, and nobody should go around making you feel bad for the way you've connected to foods. The only times I want to make people feel bad about eating stuff is if they've never tried something. You know, is if they've never had the chance to say, well, what do you really think about it? You know, and, you know, of course, having kids the ages that I have them now, it's absolutely infuriating.
You learn to, if you have a picky eater, you learn to, like, work around it.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to try it, you know. So my grandmother used to say, spadognamo, which I think might mean something, you know. Profane or something, you know.
But we can say it because not in English.
Right, Spandignam. So hopefully the FCC is not paying attention.
They got Spandignam. Google Translate.
You don't like it? More for me.
I love it. Man. Yeah, and that's one way to look at it. So, so Pizza King, for me, the other ones were like Shakey's and Pizza, not Pizza Hut, but it was Pizza Haven. That was a Northwest thing that I don't even know if that's around anymore.
Pagliacci's, I think is the name of it. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll stop in there. Or the other one is
Zeke's.
De Laurentiis. They never had pizza.
Oh, okay.
In the market.
Oh, yeah, in Pike Place Market. Is that so you kind of established at the beginning of the show that you're more of like a thick crust person, thick crust or the square. You would take that over the thin slice in a triangle for the most part.
It depends on where it's from. I mean, if they, and like I say, most places don't have, the square pizza, the thicker crust. So, like I say, when in Rome, you do what they do, and I definitely will go for the Sicilian slice, maybe anchovies if you can get it, onions. I like onions, grilled onions on there, but that's about it. I don't need anything else. Buster's got to have Canadian bacon and pineapple.
Right.
You know what I mean? God bless you. I'll eat it if that's the last slice left and I'm still a little hungry, but I ain't gonna order it.
So there you go. There's an important differentiation between you and Buster. And in the last program, I really tried to highlight people's differences, but this time it's been edifying to hear that your favorite pizza being from New York is not actually in a triangle. And it's taught me something. And I hope some other listeners about, you know, that pizza in New York is also very, multifarious. It sounds like a bad word.
Multifaceted.
Yeah. That sounds better.
And the last place I went to in New York and had pizza 2 months ago, they had the thin crust, they had the Sicilian, and then they call it the grandma's slice. And it's a square pizza, and the crust is a little thinner. That's new. You don't see that very much. There was a guy, he was doing pizza kind of like that at the poorhouse last year.
Mm.
Can't remember his name. He had a little wood fire thing. It was nice pizza.
Was it the Den and Bowie folks? Maybe it was them.
I don't remember. I don't know if it was Den and Bowie or who. Like I said, he was from New Jersey or something. He knew what he was doing, you know. And, you know, every now and then, you know, you get a slice and a beer and, you know, who's better than me?
Well, thanks a lot, Steve. I'm now thoroughly famished because all I had for lunch was, I'm not joking, chicken or beef broth and carrots. So I am gonna eat a pizza tonight. No, I'm eating pizza again tonight. It's gonna be fine. And you and I are gonna get a beer soon, and I won't stand you up this time, because I'll be a better person who actually remembers things. And before you go, do you have any final pizza shout outs for our listeners for this second pizza party on Filter on KPTZ?
Pizza shout outs. I think I've given them all at this point.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
they don't have to be pizza shout outs.
Oh, just shout outs. Oh, I don't know. I love everybody. You know, I mean, that's good enough.
Yeah. We can say we love Marla and Thomas Overman. They are amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, we're going to start there. Yeah, we totally love Marla and Thomas and Amy and Becky and Ruby and the list goes on and on. And we love Paul. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for coming on. We'll have you on again soon for maybe the third or the fourth pizza party. I don't know how often these are going to go, but hopefully fairly often.
Well, you're going to be on the air forever.
Yeah,
we've established that, so it'll be in the future.
It'll be soon. Come more pizza and more salivating on air. Thanks again, Steve. Nice. We'll see you later.
Ciao.